before you right here and now in your presence, Lord, and thank you for the word that you're about to share with us. Thank you that we're entering into a place of your presence, Father, in your word where it's going to speak to us. And I pray, Lord, just help quicken it. Make it alive for us that we can grow from it and grow in our faith towards you and our understanding of Jesus Christ, who you are, what you've done. And then, Lord, allow you to live and to flow right through us as we live out this walk as a believer, Lord. We thank you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So I want to talk, I titled it Living Inside Out, which you'll understand as we go through. We're going to talk a lot about inside and outside, or the inner stuff and the outer stuff. But a few weeks ago, this is where it kind of spawned from, but a few weeks ago when I was out of town, my wife Margie actually shared a sermon on Sunday morning. And if you remember, she spoke on the Beatitudes, okay, as they're often called. And she went through and described each one of them and in a little different detail, but she called them the supreme blessings of God. That's, if you look up the definition for a beatitude, that's kind of the definition, a supreme blessing. It's something that God wants to give to each one of us, and so she went through and was able to describe those. As I listened to her recording, obviously I wasn't here that day, it was recorded and I listened to it later on, but as she went through those beatitudes, there was one in particular that just quickened. I was on the tread climber at the time, and I'm going through and listening to it, and all of a sudden, one of them she said, and it just quickened something inside of me that said, you know what, there's more to this. And when she said it, she read the scripture out of the King James Bible, and you guys know I usually use that, but she also read it out of the Amplified Bible, and there was a couple of words in that Amplified that just stood out. It's like, whoa, I need to share more on that. So here's the scripture. We'll start with this out of Matthew chapter 5. It says, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Okay, now we're talking about what's on the inside, right? Pure in heart, for they shall see God. I want to read it now out of the Amplified. It says, blessed or happy, enviably fortunate, and spiritually prosperous, possessing the happiness produced by the experience of God's favor, also known as grace, right? And especially conditioned by the revelation of His grace, regardless of their outward conditions. Okay, that's, I'm going to focus on those two words today, the outward conditions. So blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Okay, Bob, can you turn me up just a little bit? Sorry. You can hear me just fine. There's a little bit of joyful noise emanating out of the room next to us. Praise God. So blessed, happy, envious. So like I said, it said that the God's favor, especially conditioned by the revelation of His grace, regardless of their outward condition, are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Regardless of their outward condition. Okay? I want to explain a little bit more about what that is. But to live your life in a way that is conditioned or trained by the revelation of God's grace, a revelation of the unearned, unmerited favor upon your life. In order to receive that, you have to see yourself regardless of your outward condition. Regardless of your outward condition. In order to see yourself as blessed. Okay, you know, as a body of Christ, you can walk through life moping through it, that life is hard. Or you can see yourself as blessed. I know that I'm blessed. I am blessed and highly favored of the Lord. I see it everywhere I go. I understand that. I receive it. I walk in it. I love it. And even during times when things don't look like they're going that great, I still know that I am blessed. But to live in that way, to see yourself as blessed, to see yourself as fortunate and spiritually prosperous, in order to possess true joy, in order to possess happiness that is available through your relationship with God, you have to view yourself as more than what you can see on the outside. Okay? You have to, if you're going to walk in this experience, this blessed place, you have to see yourself as more than what you can see on the outside. I don't know about you, but I probably can. How many could take a quick glance at your body, or a quick glance even a little bit deeper and look at your soulish realm, start thinking of your flesh, okay, and look at that, and see some things that are not quite there. Maybe see some imperfections. Okay, there's a few of that. It doesn't take long, especially you look at your body. Most of us can say, oh yeah, I got some imperfections there. Okay, today as I talk about living from the inside out, I want to talk about going deeper still, deeper than your flesh or your body, deeper than your soul, your fleshy stuff, to your spirit, so that we can get down to the core of your spiritual condition. Okay, the core of your spiritual condition. But let's go beyond just looking at the core of our spiritual condition from God's perspective. God is unlimited. He can see your body, sees your flesh, he sees your core, he sees all those things. But let's get down to looking at and seeing yourself how you see that. Because how you view, I'm not saying this very well yet, how you see that inner core, what you see as your spiritual condition, makes a huge difference in the way you live your life. Because if that core is still a mess, it's still not there, it's still, you know, then you begin to live that out because you don't see yourself as able to receive the blessings of God. You don't see yourself as ready and right with God yet. Okay, and so that the way that you see that core makes a huge difference in your life. Okay, now I've said many times that if you've given your life to Jesus Christ, okay, you've given your life to Him, you've accepted Him as your personal Lord and Savior, and yet you see yourself and consider yourself to be unworthy, to be an unworthy sinner, you have missed the true nature of the gospel. It is good news what Jesus came to give us. Okay, and if we miss that, we're not going to be able to receive the rest of it. So you might have your eternal life secured. Okay, a lot of Christians live this way. They've got their life is secured in God. Okay, they've acknowledged that they needed a Savior. They've accepted Christ as their only hope and their Savior. But yet you can in no way experience the full blessedness of your new life in Christ until you accept the fact that your outside condition is not the determining factor. Your outside condition on the outside is not what determines whether God can bless you or not. If it was, we're all imperfect. Now, God couldn't bless any of us. So it can't be based on that outward stuff that we always see. Okay? It is your condition on the inside. It is in your spirit that what God is looking at. Okay, it is deep. It's the deep part of you that God is looking at. Now, the outside part of you, your physical body, your mannerisms, okay, your actions, and even your attitude can and certainly should follow suit with that core. Okay, it should follow suit in pureness, in holiness. However, it cannot, your outside stuff, it cannot and it will not line up with the holiness of God until it is made to do so by what is on the inside. Okay? It's inside out. That's the way that God has called us to live. Okay? What is on the outside does not tell the extent of your true spiritual relationship with God. If you wonder what I mean by that, think about Jesus Christ sitting at a table with harlots and prostitutes and tax collectors and sinners. Okay, the religious people that came and saw what he was doing were looked at the outside stuff and said, he's hanging out with lowlifes. You know, they're looking at it from that perspective, completely missing. Now, in their eyes, they're looking at Jesus, he's hanging out with sinners, and to them it's just wrong. It's not right. This man cannot be God. He cannot even know God, or he wouldn't be hanging out with people like that. Remember the guy that came to him and said, how can you let her wash your feet? You know, don't you know who's touching you? And their religious stuff, what were they looking at? Completely outside stuff. Societal rules, society, and that kind of a perception is what they were looking at. They were not looking at the core. Who was more in tune with God than anybody would have been Jesus Christ. And they were missing that. They were looking so much at the outside that they were missing that inside stuff that God was truly doing. Jesus was sending a message by being with those people and hanging out and doing what he did. Who needed a physician more than the healer? You know, I mean, who needed the healer more than those that were there? Okay? So what is on the outside is what is not what's going to determine your spiritual relationship with God or the extent of it. For those religious folks, their observation brought them to the wrong conclusion, and they couldn't have been further from the truth. They were looking at the wrong stuff. Okay, it is very true that what manifests on the outside, and I'm going to let you off the hook that, oh, it's don't worry about the outside stuff. Okay, it is very true that what is on the outside or what manifests on the outside is a product of what is on the inside. Okay, even Jesus said in Luke 6:45, he said, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. For of the abundance, or out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So, right, what's on the inside begins to come out at some point. That's because what comes out of your mouth began where? It began on the inside. And that's how it begins to come out. So it's a matter of seeing the difference between the two. It began on the inside, and then it manifests on the outside. So our understanding of what is on the inside, understanding who you are at your core, is vital to being a Christian. Okay, that's vital to our Christian walk. If you're born again, you have Jesus living in your heart, and yet you still think that you have evil in your heart, you still think that at your core there's imperfections, you're missing the gospel. You're missing out. Jesus Christ does not hang out with evil. Okay? He's pureness, God in the flesh. Came and lived among us, but he was always perfectly pure, holy, unhindered, unsinning. Never sinned once, right? He is the sinless Son of God. Okay? And so if we have invited him in and he lives in our core, that part of us is right on. It's right on the money. It's right where it needs to be because Christ came in you. You could not do it from the outside in. That's where you put the Ten Commandments up on your wall and you start checking off. I did that one today. I did this today. I did, okay, I'm pretty good today. And tomorrow, well, I didn't make all 10. You know, and so you couldn't do it. If it was from the outside in and you needed to force yourself to be a better Christian or to be holy, you couldn't be done. That's why God sent Jesus and said, he will live in you. He said, I will write my laws on the table of your heart. I will be your God and you will be my people. He said he will come in and make that happen. Okay, so our understanding of what is on the inside is very vital to our walk. The right thing, doing the right thing, pureness, holiness, uprightness is in you right now. To do those things is in you right now. Well, you have to believe that by faith. And then stop listening to the lies that your body and your flesh are telling you. Because your spirit is right with God. The things on the outside can be very deceiving. Things like your flesh, it's a great discourager. Okay, your flesh is what wanders into carnality. It's what causes your emotions to explode in anger. Okay, your flesh gets to rising up and gets to dominating. You're not living from the spirit, you're living from the flesh. That's what causes people to lust or to covet or to, like I said, blow up in anger or things like that. It's coming out of the flesh. That's not from the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God is in you. That's the pureness. That's what will come out of the Spirit of God. That's what's at your core. Okay? Your body is not a great encourager either. Okay? Your body, you know, that'll tell you that you're not pretty, okay? Your body tells you that you're fat. Your body tells you that you're clumsy or that you're inadequate in some way, shape, or form, okay? Your body is what gives into addictions and cravings and leads you into a direction that's not good for you. Deep inside you, however, at your core, where God dwells in your spirit, you are pure, you're clean, you're beautiful. In your spirit, you are more than adequate. In your spirit, you are perfect and right with God. That's how the born again, born of the Spirit, my spirit is right with God. That is how you enter into heaven. That's how you can be where God is. God and sin don't come together. Okay, so he had to do something so that you could come to be with him. He wanted you to be able to enter in an eternity in heaven with him. Okay, so he made your spirit perfect because it is Jesus. It is perfect in him. Okay, man tends to look on the outward stuff. Like I said, the guys that are criticizing Jesus because Jesus is being Jesus. He's loving on people, doing what God has called him to do, and they criticize him. They're looking on the outward appearance of things. But God looks on the heart. There's a famous scripture in 1 Samuel 16:7. Talks about this. It says, "The Lord said unto Samuel," he said, "look not on his countenance or on the height of his stature." In other words, he's good looking and tall and handsome. He said, "look not on that stuff, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth, for the man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart." Okay? God was giving Samuel instructions on choosing the next king of Israel. And as the sons, you remember as the sons came through, and the first one, he says, "oh, this guy's great. He's tall, he's good looking, he's handsome. This must be the king." And God says, "no, don't look at the outward stuff. I don't look like man looks. I look at the heart. This is not the one. I refuse him." And each one that came through, he said the same thing. "No, yeah, he's a good-looking guy too, but nope, that's not the one." He was looking at the hearts of those men, and that's what was going to determine who he would choose for a king. And just like God chose that king, when God chooses a king, he chose you to be a king and a priest. Did you know that? Okay, you were chosen by God. When you gave your life to him, you accepted Christ, you became a king. When God chose you, he wasn't looking at the outside stuff. He was looking at your heart. Because if he was looking at the outside, you guys know my testimony. Bad stuff, man. If he was looking at the outside, there was no way I was going to be chosen. Nothing about me was good at that point in my life. But God was looking beyond that to the heart and saw that I would receive him in my heart. And as soon as I did, I became that chosen of God. Okay? Now God was given instructions for Samuel on choosing that king. And just like that, he knew that he made it very clear when he made his choice for you, he was not basing it on appearance. Okay? Some of you need to search a little deeper into your spiritual condition. Okay? Examine your life. Determine the truthfulness of your relationship with God. Is the way that you think about things in line with God and his word, or is it just your opinion? And you're going to stand with that whether it lines up with the Bible or not. Some of you are passing off your walk with God as just being a simple endeavor. Okay? Something that you just do every day. You go to church on Sunday and then you just try to live a good life the rest of the week. You try to live it, be a good person the rest of the time. Okay? That is focusing on the outside stuff instead of seeing what has already happened on the inside. Jesus said that it is not common to be a true disciple. It is not the majority. Look around. In here is not the place to look around. But look around out there. Okay? And you're going to see there's a lot of people that are not walking through the narrow gate. A lot of people are not walking in the way of God. Look at a scripture in Matthew chapter 7, verse 13. Jesus said this. He said, "Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. But straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it." Right after this, Jesus goes on. The very next verse, Jesus goes on to warn about the deception of focusing on the outside and not paying attention to what is really going on in your heart. He said to beware of the false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing. They look like a sheep, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Yea, you shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes from thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down, cut down, cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits you shall know them. What manifests on the outside as good, or what manifests on the outside as bad, begins with what is on the inside of that tree. A good tree brings forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree, one that is rotten, it's bad, it's worthless on the inside, therefore it cannot bring forth good fruit, but only that which is bad. If you have received Christ as your Savior, then you are not corrupt on the inside. You cannot bring forth the evil fruit from your spirit. It won't happen. Jesus Christ will not bring forth evil from that part of you. Okay? If you have received Him, you are pure. You have the pure, holy, righteous Redeemer living on the inside of you. Look at Matthew 23, verse 25. He says, "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For you make clean the outside of the cup and the platter, but within they are full of extortion and excess. Thou blind Pharisee, cleanse first that which is within or inside the cup and the platter, so that the outside of them may be clean also. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, you hypocrites! For you are like the whited sepulchres," that's a grave, a tomb, "that they would shine it up on the outside and make it all beautiful and make it look like this great thing on the outside. But he says, you are like unto whited sepulchres, which indeed appear beautiful outward, but within full of dead men's bones and of all uncleanness. Even so ye also outwardly appear righteous unto men, but within you're full of hypocrisy and iniquity." Jesus was speaking to a group of religious people who were focused on the outside. Okay, the scribes and Pharisees were the epitome of pompous, prideful, religious, all about the outside, all about the show. They made a big announcement when they gave their alms. They did all these things and preaching on the corners and stand. They wanted everybody, "Look at me, look at me." It's all about the outside stuff. Jesus called them a hypocrite, a play actor. They're just playing a part in a play. It's not real. Okay. They let their outward pride hinder them from receiving the cleansing that Jesus offered. That's why he said, "You're hypocrites. You're going the wrong direction. Your righteousness is all about you, and on the outside you're all shined up, but you're missing it. The inside is what really matters." He could make them righteous and clean and holy, but they were rejecting him. For you and I to have received the greatness and the power and the holiness of God himself, placed him on the inside of us, it makes us able to live out the way that God wants us to live. It's the only way to live the way that God wants us to live. Jesus inside of you does not lust. Jesus inside of you does not hate his brother. Jesus inside of you does not, you know, hold unforgiveness or any of the faults and failures, anything you could call a sin. Jesus doesn't, that doesn't come from him, and yet he is inside of you. The key is going to be to let him live through you. Let him out. Let him rule your life. Let him dominate. Let the Spirit of God be what rules what happens, how you respond. Okay? Let the Spirit of God be what you're in tune with, so that when you go to make those decisions, it's based on what the Spirit, who's perfectly connected with God, what the Spirit sees, says, does, wants to do. That's what you're going to be doing. We let Him live through you and stop burying Jesus inside of us. Stop holding Him back and then struggling and working hard to shine up the outside like the scribes and Pharisees did. It doesn't work. You can shine up for a while, but at your core, if it's still rottenness, dead men's bones, all uncleanness, that's what's really going to come out. Eventually, it's going to be coming out. The Bible says that man believes in his heart, and with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. That's just a good example of what letting the inside out and how you begin to let that rule your life. I don't know about any of you, but I confess Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior at one point. Most of you have too. Okay? And at that moment, I was letting what was on the inside, a belief at my core, that I believed that He was my Savior. I believed that He died on the cross for me. I believe all those things. And as soon as I did that, I was letting the inside dominate. Now that became my truth. That became the core of the way my life was going to be lived. Okay, your Christian faith is not about what you are and what you can do. It's about Jesus Christ, what He has done on the inside of you to make you right with God. Glory. Now, we just continue to let Him live through us. Live through us. Live through me. Let that be your prayer. God, just live through me. Man, I can't do this. I keep failing. I keep falling, but He's perfect. He will never miss it. He will never say the wrong thing. No corrupt communication will ever come out of His mouth. And so when we're connecting and we believe and we allow Him to live through us, we're going to be letting the truth come through us. The right things are going to be done through you. So what do you take away from this? As you go out, know that if you've received Christ as your Savior, Jesus Christ, all His holiness, perfection, sinlessness, all of that is inside of you. And we can let that begin to come through us. He will live through you if you will stop holding Him back. You are blessed today. You are blessed, happy, fortunate, prosperous, all those things, not because of your outward stuff, but because Jesus Christ is in you. Okay? And He has made you, regardless of your outward condition, He has made you acceptable unto God so that He can pour out His blessing onto your life. The rest will follow. I guarantee it will follow. I've seen it too many times. When the inside changes, the outside begins to change as well. It comes out. What is at the core begins to come out. But you've got to see the crucial part. You've got to see what's at the core. And begin to say that that is the truth. That is who I really am. And begin to let that come out of us. Praise God. Praise God. Father God, I want to praise You again. Just give You the glory for Your work that You've done in us, Lord. Father, we know each one of us can humbly admit that You have done and can do and will do all the things that we cannot. Lord, You are so much better able. You lived a perfect, sinless life, and yet we can look at our life right now and say, man, I can't do that. Beginning with that belief that You are there, You are in us, that we can allow You to live and to breathe and to move right through us, Lord. That as You do those things, that we will begin to do the right things on the outside. Things will begin to line up with You when we understand that You are at our core. You are the central part of our being. Lord, we accept that this morning. I pray that You'll take us from here, Lord, in a place of understanding the blessing that we are as the pure in heart, that we can allow You to live and flow through us, Lord, and that we can receive of all those good things that You have in store for us, all the things that You want to give and to bless us with. Your word even says it's Your good pleasure to give us Your kingdom, Father. We praise You for that. Thank You for this day, Lord. Pray that today is a life-changing day, Lord, that as we leave here, it's not just words in one ear and out the other, Lord, but it's a time when we have received and allowed You to minister to our spirit, connect with us, Lord, that we can now listen and hear as You lead and guide us as we walk out these doors, Lord. Use Your life and Your life in and through us to minister unto those in our families, our workplaces, the store, wherever we go, Lord, that You are doing Your work through us. In the name of Jesus Christ, our precious Lord and Savior and Your Son, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.